Obviously, there are countless occasions when we need to express our thoughts in the written form. Applying for schools or jobs, inviting guests to weddings and baby showers, giving presentations or sales pitches at work, or just wanting to tell a story. Thankfully, Dr. Laura Brown, a writer and writing coach with 30 years' experience, addresses every conceivable situation in her book, How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide. It's a great pleasure to welcome Laura Brown to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
It is a delight to have you with us. What brought you to write such a complete guide?
Well, it's a little bit of a convoluted story. I started in a PhD program in English years ago at Columbia and realized partway through the program this really isn't for me. I really don't think I'm cut out to be an academic. But during my time there, I was teaching, and I was also doing some freelance editing for some professors at Columbia Business School. That turned into writing for them on various projects, ghostwriting books, et cetera. And while I was working with them, things would just come up in the course of our work, that somebody would need to write a sympathy note, or somebody's son was applying for college and needed to do a college application essay. So I eventually did go on and finish the doctorate simply because I had started it, but it really started me in a business helping people write anything. And I figured, well, after 25 years of doing that, I guess I'm ready to write a book.
The book is broken up into three sections: the writing process, e-writing and the technology revolution, and then the entries, which has the most of all of the various scenarios that we mentioned, many in the introduction. Why break it up that way, and how ultimately did you want this story, if you will, to unfold?
Well, I have a lot to say about writing after having done it and taught it for so long. So I really think that there are two keys to being successful as a writer. The first is understanding the best process for you. And that's what the first section of the book is about. Writing is usually taught as sort of a linear process. You start by thinking about your purpose and your reader, then you brainstorm content, then you organize the content, write a draft, and revise it. I was teaching at Columbia one night and getting ready to teach this process to my students, and I heard myself saying, "Look, I know you guys aren't going to use this. I know you're not going to do it this way, but I just want to tell you about it." And then, you know, a bell went off in my head. Hey, I think there's a problem here. and I stopped and thought about it and realized there's nothing wrong with that linear process if you're a linear thinker, if that's a comfortable way for you to work. But a lot of people don't write that way, and I don't want them to go around feeling like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. I realize I start by writing a draft, and I know people who start by writing an outline. So I think those six steps are all important, but I don't think it matters what order you do them in. I think if you start by writing a draft, that's fine. Then you can go back, look at your draft, think about your purpose, think about your reader, ask yourself, okay, is this really outlined properly? Do I need to brainstorm more content? And I find that's really freeing with the people that I work with. So that's one part of what I wanted to convey in this book, that there are all kinds of different correct ways to write. And what you've been taught in school, if that's not working for you, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It means you need to stop and figure out the best process. And the second thing that you need to succeed in any writing task is to understand what's required of the task. So if you have to write a science paper, obviously you need to know what goes into a science paper. If you need to write a letter of recommendation, you need to understand what are the best things to put into a letter of recommendation. And that's really what the bulk of the book is about. It applies the sort of ideas that I have about process to almost 200 different writing tasks.
You use a term in the book I was unfamiliar with. What is a writing spinner?
Well, that's my innovation. That's what I've done. I've taken the linear process of writing and turned it into a spinner. And if you imagine literally a spinner like you had with games that you had when you were a kid, you spin it and it tells you what to do. That's the way I want people to consider their writing process. You can start at any point on the spinner. You can start by brainstorming. You can start by outlining. You can start by considering your reader's needs. And it was just a way that I have of getting people through all the steps, but letting people know you can do them really in any order, whatever works best for you as a writer.
You also address e-writing, as I mentioned, and the technology revolution, which has become a large part of how we write, and certainly in the beginning was even said to perhaps kill the written word, but it has done far from that.
That's true. I remember when email started getting popular, there were people saying, oh, well, that's it for writing. We're all going to be communicating in some kind of mysterious digital way. And the result has been, as we all know, that we're all writing more now than ever before. I recently saw an article in Forbes that pointed out the phone has now become a writing device, which I thought was pretty brilliant. And the email has surpassed the phone call as the most common form of business communication. You know, everybody's got their voicemail on all the time anyway. Not just individuals, but also companies. If you want customer service, you often have to write rather than try to get through on the phone. So it really has made us much more of a writing culture. People who work on virtual teams at work may never actually see the people that they work with, but communicate in writing.
You tackle many scenarios, writing in your personal life, writing at school, writing at work, and again, pretty much any scenario, and I assume that this is a list that you pored over as to trying to think of all the possible things that you would have to write in your life.
Yes, I wanted to address, there are an awful lot of them. I have almost 200 entries in there, but I wanted really to focus on the most common things that people have to write, and then also on the kinds of things that might take you by surprise during the course of your life. You might suddenly have to write an obituary and need to know how to do that. So I wanted to provide really reliable advice for that. You can go online and Google how to do these various things, but I wanted to have a resource that people could just keep on the shelf and just grab whenever they needed to write something, like a wedding toast or a resignation letter. A lot of things come up that we don't necessarily anticipate. We really write a lot more than we realize we do. So that was the basis of selection.
You do this for a business sense, but a Facebook status update, the do's and don'ts.
Yes. Yes. You know, Facebook, when you write on Facebook, you're actually writing. And you're writing for readers. And I think that that's something that we sometimes don't keep in mind. Often on Facebook, we just kind of blurt out what we want to say without considering who's going to be reading it or what the effect is going to be. You can have a much better experience on Facebook, and you can give your friends a much better experience on Facebook if you treat your status updates as writing. They're brief, but they are written, so it's important that they be clear, that they be kind, I think. I have a friend on Facebook, and he's a dear friend, but I literally cannot understand most of his updates because he's going so fast and there's so many errors in them. And if the point is to communicate, you want to do that well.
I had a writing teacher in college who had advice that has stayed with me my entire life. It's very simple, which is words mean things.
Mm.
And that we sometimes lose sight of that, don't we? That what we say, and even in an offhanded way, we have to know what it means ourselves before we dispense it to others.
Yes. Yeah. That's wonderful. That's wonderful advice for everyone to remember. Yeah, I think that especially because we're all writing so fast, especially if we're writing online, it's very easy to do it in a thoughtless way. And they do mean things, and they do have implications. They hang around longer than the written word hangs around a lot longer than the spoken word in most cases. And we just see, you know, time after time, companies, for example, getting into trouble with having put things in emails that shouldn't have gone in emails. So it's a good idea to respect your words and take them seriously.
One thing I like about the book is you aren't overly preachy. You are not sounding the death knell of the printed word and saying with great despair that we will not have a record of our lives because we refuse to put anything down in writing.
Yeah, I hope that's not true. I hope that's not happening. I think it's something we do need to pay attention to. I recently gave a talk at a bookstore about letter writing, and I had uncovered some letters that my father had written from, he was sent to a boarding school, and he was writing letters back to his family who were in China at the time. And there was my dad at 15 years old writing about, you know, trying to save up to buy a radio, and it was just this wonderful glimpse into who he was, and that's someone I never would have known. So those were really precious. But, you know, I think that any writing can be saved and archived. I have an old Macintosh laptop, one of the original iBooks, and I am saving it only because there are a bunch of emails on there from my mother, and I haven't figured out how to get them off yet. It's a little bit complicated. But, you know, anything that you write is a record of you, and I encourage people to save emails in the way that people used to save cards and letters, because they're records of who you are, what you were working on, who you were working with, who you were talking to. So I think all is not lost. We're still writing. I just hope that we're saving some of the important writing.
Do you have a concern overall that our writing has become too informal?
I think it depends on the context. I don't have a universal concern about that. My concern is that people don't understand context. There are plenty of contexts where informal writing is perfectly appropriate, but if you carry that into a context where you should be more formal, you can really get into trouble. And I see this a lot with students who've just graduated from college and they're starting their first jobs, and they jump right into emailing their clients and their boss the same way that they did their friends. And that's a serious problem. If you start sending your clients smiley faces and typing WTF to your boss, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So informal writing is fine in the appropriate context. I think the real challenge is that a lot of people don't understand context, and they're not writing appropriately.
Well, there's a lot of information in the book, wonderful information. It's How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide. It is published by Norton. Laura Brown, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Again, the book, How to Write Anything, A Complete Guide. It's published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.